lion will lie down with the lamb.
Well, greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, because He indeed is Lord. He is the one over it all, and in Him we live, move, have our being. In Him we have the answer, we have the solution, we have the way forward, we have all that we need in our time in the earth, in the paradigm, in this window that we have come into this particular reality for a season, for God's purpose. And, you know, in this window, we have all that we need in Christ Jesus to be able to accomplish the reason and the purpose that we're here, to be able to stay on track, to be able to know and be led by His voice into the fulfillment of that which we've come into the earth for. Isaiah chapter 11. I might as well just do this today because this is getting fun. All right, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the right and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy all the holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Amen. And I read that verse 6. you know what? We've kind of gone through a little bit of a dimensional track shift. So verse 6, the wolf shall also lie down with the lamb. if you guys remember what that used to say, it used to be the lion shall also lie down with the lamb. And, you know, I think it's fascinating that as we've now been able to see more and more apparently the fact that what we're in here is not a fixed reality. It's pliable. It's malleable. couple things to note in the middle of all that's going on and taking place. One, that God is in control, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The whole thing is His. The whole thing belongs to Him. And He's in control. Two, with some of these things that have shifted and changed, even though they've shifted and changed, the inherent underlying meaning, for example, in these texts and these passages, haven't shifted. It still has the same inherent the underlying foundation is still there. But what we're seeing is we're seeing this merger, this shift, this jump. And it's exciting for me because, you know, in the process of things shifting and in the process of things changing, while we continue to look to the Lord in the middle of all of this, He gave us the word early on. which was that we would be riding this wave of light, and to ride the wave of light. And how are you going to do it? You're going to have to keep your eyes on Christ. Verse 9 here says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So what we're coming into as well, because also that is truth. That's a flood of truth, because God is truth. Jesus is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is light. He is all of that. This is all part and parcel of the flow of what's taking place and of what we're writing. Now, how now do we live in this time? Well, we already put this out before this shift took place. Before the texts were changed, I should say, and even after now, it's still the same thing. God is still consistent with us, which was you need to keep your eyes on Christ. Because if you don't keep your eyes on Christ, you are going to be caught up in all the things going on around you. And just like Peter began to sink because he took his eyes off Christ and he was starting to look at all these other things going on around him when he was trying to walk on the water, and he was walking on the water. He was engaging in the miraculous for that moment. And then when he took his eyes off of Christ and he started looking at the waves thrashing around him, he started to sink. And I need to bring that back to you guys today, is that if you take your eyes off of Christ and you start to get caught up in all this other stuff going on around you, you're going to start to sink. Here's the thing. What did Jesus even say? You need that no man should teach you, because my Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. And in the middle of all of this, one of the other things too that God is wanting us to do is to trust the way that his Holy Spirit works with us, to go within, to go with him. Instead of we continually, in the times past, we've continually tried to make sense of an external reality, and there is no sense in the external reality, nor is there peace in the external reality. You won't find it there. What's been interesting to me in this sort of litmus test, in this recent jump that we've all kind of gone through, and where a lot of the children of God that have made this shift, this kind of one step over this parallel track, is everybody still has this collective memory of what it used to be. That's what's funny too, how so many other people though that have sort of this inclination, how they're trying to rationalize away even that which they know is true to make themselves align with the present external reality. So they're still looking for something in the external to be real and to be consistent, when God has said that that the kingdom is within. God has said that, you know, his peace he would leave with us. You know, his peace he gives us, and he doesn't give like the world gives. Well, where does that peace come from? Peace comes from him. Where does that kingdom come from? Well, the kingdom is within. So that is a resolution that happens with him, and it's not going to come any other way. If you keep trying to find it in something external and trying to make sense of the external reality, it's not going to work like that. All right, let me propose for you a couple possibilities. Now, these are I'm not suggesting that these are that these are answers. I'm just proposing these as possibilities. Well, we've already seen one soul track switch that we've all kind of had an inclination towards, which could probably take on a life of its own, and people going all over the place with all kinds of informations and theories and disinformations and trying to wrap stuff up into pushing their own personal private agenda, whatever. But we know something's up. Now, what would happen if just in the course of our walk with Christ, if all of a sudden we just jumped over 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 more tracks, and we kept switching into different realities and into other ones where all of a sudden things are different. All of a sudden things change. You know, all of a sudden maybe we shift into a place. You know, when we read some things about the scriptures about how you know, certain people would be taken and others are left. Well, you know, what if that doesn't happen in the big cosmic Hollywood production way that people have thought? What if it's just you know, three more shifts like we've just had? What happens if things just... What happens... See, this is something we've been saying for a while here. That from when Jesus Christ came into the earth, and when he came and he walked on the earth and did all that God had prophesied in the scriptures about God coming into the earth and what he was going to do, and his life and his ministry and everything else along those lines, and fulfilling over 300 prophecies spoken about him, and all of that, at the conclusion of it, everybody missed it. They missed what God was doing, because they all had their own scenarios of what God should do and how he should do it. They all thought, okay, this Jesus, this Messiah, whoever's going to show up, this, he's going to liberate us from Roman occupation and Roman rule, and we're going to have this uprising that everybody's going to rally behind, and they're going to win militarily. No, that wasn't what God was doing at all. So I find it fascinating, incredible, that we've just seen a little glitch along the way. And in the process, and it's been widespread enough that a lot of people have caught this one. Sometimes people don't catch these, but as the frequencies shift, as things change, people are catching it and they're seeing things. Now, what do you do with that? Does this result in fear in you? Does this result in now a revelation of what your foundation is and realizing that some things are off? Or does this result in an excitement, an encouragement, an anticipation, an eager expectation of what God is doing with and through you? You know, perhaps even in the things that have taken place, that some of this shift was necessary for us to be able to move forward in our gifts, in our talents, in our abilities. Because that last track that we were all on, I know a lot of us had our feet stuck in a morass of this world. And a lot of us, it was really, really tough to move forward with the things of God because we were bogged down. And perhaps this was a track shift necessary for the fulfillment of the things that God's spoken over your life. You know, the passage that I've been thinking about some today was when Jesus called Peter and called him to be a fisher of men. And one of the things that he spoke over Peter was, he said, excuse me, he said, you know, toss your net on the other side of the boat. This is after these guys have been fishing the whole night, and you're going to catch some fish. And what did Peter say? He said, you know, Lord, we've been fishing the whole night. We haven't caught a thing. But nonetheless, is based on your word, Lord Jesus, we're going to give it one more try. We're going to try it again. And in doing so, they caught so much fish that their net started to tear, and they had to call for help, and they had to get other people to show up just to help get all the fish into the boats to bring it onto land. And then they saw the hand of God, the intervention of God in that situation. And after that, Peter was like, you know, that was it. And he was like, Lord, away from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, Peter, you come follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And he left his nets. He left his boats. Why? Because all of a sudden, that was it. He had labored and done everything in his own efforts and tried and tried and tried and come up short. Nothing had happened. And all it took was one word from Jesus for something to change. All it took was one thing shifting for everything to change. Now, in that shift, when Jesus said, Peter, toss your net onto the side of the boat and you're going to find those fish, what had changed? Well, here's the thing. Peter had been in those waters the whole night. Where did those fish come from? Were those fish always there? See, the very efforts that Peter was making before that intervention by God were coming up short. But as soon as God made one little shift and spoke that word, all of a sudden everything changed. And when everything changed, all of a sudden, the very same efforts that Peter was doing before, which resulted in nothing, all of a sudden resulted in incredible results. But he still had to trust God. Nevertheless, Lord, based on your word, I'm going to give it another shot. And I think that is one of the encouragements that I want to share with you guys today. In the middle of this track, one of them is to be consistent with the overall instruction that we've been given for this time. And you guys know what that is. We're riding this wave of light, which is continuing to increase, continuing to build, continuing to grow. And we're on that wave. Christ Jesus is, that's the foundation. That's our board. That's what we're riding on. That's the only thing that we're with in this time. And you got to keep your focus on Him. Okay, so we're riding that. Now, as we're riding this, we're not just passive participants. We're actively engaged in what's happening and taking place. And you go with what you got right now. But now, in the middle of this, what is it that God is saying to us too? Well, I believe part of it is give that thing one more shot. That thing that's come up empty for you over and over and over and over and over again. And you've tried and labored the whole night. In fact, they were pulling in the nets. They were done. They were giving it up. They were like, all right, this one's done. This is over. You know, we're done for this night. You know, we may come back out again, but what's the use if we keep coming out and we keep coming up short? Why put the nets out in the first place? Why even go out on the water in the first place? If you're just going to go out the whole night, not even sleep the whole night, put all your effort in, and then come up with zero at the close of it, well, why not just leave the nets docked with the boat inside the boat and just go drink the whole night? Right? That's where that thinking starts to come to. But Jesus, in the middle of that situation, says, yeah, you know what, Peter? Put down your net on the side of that boat for a catch. Now, it's not because in Peter's mind, he could have justified that away a thousand ways. However many times he came up short, however many times things didn't work in the past, however many times, you know, he'd been frustrated, all of that. But where was the secret? And this is back to this point that we've been living with all this time. Keep your eyes on Christ. Where was his focus? His focus was on Christ. His focus was on the word that came from God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He heard the word from the mouth of God, and he took that word, and he went forward with that word that was gospel. You need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. That word came to him, he taught him, he learned from it, he went forward with it. And what happened? And here's the other thing too. The natural result of catching all of those fish was that prior to Peter having the encounter with Christ, that would have been the end game for Peter. That would have been the ultimate result for Peter. But once he had an encounter with Christ Jesus, even though he got the fulfillment of what he thought was the biggest thing that he would want in that situation, he was ready to leave it in a second and follow Christ, because he found the pearl of great price. He found the great treasure. He found that which was real. And he was willing to go wherever Jesus went after that. So even though we may, in this time, in this quick shift that we've already gone through, and we're just starting to understand some of the subtleties and some of the major things that have come up as a result of this this paradigm shift, the bigger piece, separate from the supernatural outpouring and the good return on our labors and the things that start to happen and the manifestations of dreams and visions and miracles and all kinds of things that we've been working on and just starting to come forward. But the bigger part is that revelation of who Christ is and of our absolute, just complete devotion and commitment to Him, to walking with Him, to following Him, to going wherever it is that the Lamb would go. That's what we want. That's what we need. Brothers, sisters, this is where we're at right now. So part of where we're at right now in this recent shift, we're still riding that wave. So you got to ride it. You just got to flow with God. That means you got to be flexible. That means that you've got to not put your own, not put your own expectations onto God, but you got to flow with what He's doing. And in the process of you flowing with what God is doing in this time right now, you and keeping your eyes on Him, one of the things right now in this recent shift is, okay, that thing that you've been working on, let's give it one more shot. And you know what? The cool thing about the way that God did that with Peter is it was right at the point of him quitting. It was right at the point of him giving up. Right at the point of him calling it a night. Calling it a day. Calling it a work day. That's it. It's over. Sure, that's it. It's pretty much done and dusted, right? We've put it all on the line. Came up short. We've resolved ourselves to the fact that it just didn't work out. Okay, that's it. Cool. And now all of a sudden God has a word to say about it. And you know what? I believe one of the reasons why God has to do it like that is so that He gets the glory out of it. So that it's clear that it's Him and not us. That it's Him in His good will, good pleasure, doing something and not us in our own ability, in our own will and self-will. Making something happen for God. Oh yeah, that one's been out there for a long time. That where we would go and try to make something happen for God. There's a lot of people that tried to make something happen for God. We read about them in Matthew chapter 7. You know, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? Didn't we make stuff happen for you? And we stamped your name on it too, Jesus. It's not about that. It's about listening to His voice, being consummated with His Spirit, being one with Him. And in that union that you have with Him, that connection, that link, from there you move forward into what it is that God has for you. Oh, this is an incredible time. This is an incredible time. This is not a time, brothers and sisters in Christ, for you to be... This is not a time for fear. This is a time for excitement. This is a time for anticipation. This is a time to flow. So this is a time where you and I are aware, but we're not distracted. Again, we're aware, but we're not distracted. You can be aware about this stuff. You can raise it. You can highlight it with one another. But don't let it distract you. Don't let it pull you off course. Don't let it pull you down into the waves. Don't let it pull you into the despair with the worlders. Because the worlders, their foundation is all coming apart right now. They're already falling apart, and we haven't even got into it yet. This has just been the start. This has just been the starting phase. We haven't even gotten into the big stuff yet. And they're already falling apart. You, my brother, you, my sister, this is the time for you to move. This is the time for you to engage in some of these things. This is the time for you to also realize that in the middle of all of this, that God's had His hand upon your life, that He's been watching over you, that He's been protecting you, that He's been leading you, He's been guiding you, He's been providing you, He's been taking care of you in the midst of all of this. So trust. Enjoy. This is a journey. I'll tell you what. You know, have you guys ever had a dream where in your dream you realized that you were dreaming and then you started doing all kinds of things because you realized you were dreaming? So you realized that you were dreaming and then because you realized you were in the dream, you started to fly, or you started to do all kinds of incredible things because you realized it was a dream? Okay, I had some of those, especially when I was a kid. Those were awesome. A lot of times you don't know that you're dreaming. But when you do realize that you're dreaming, all of a sudden it becomes an adventure. Brothers and sisters, here we've just had a great, great indicator that this life and this world really is just this paradigm for a window that we're just visiting for. And it's not that, it's that being the case, and this being much more of a dream than that which is eternal and real. Knowing that, go forward in that boldness and in that joy and in that anticipation, and allow God to lead and guide you. Know that the miraculous power of God is flowing through you, that you are walking and moving and living and having your being in Christ Jesus, and that in Him, you can do things that are beyond imagination. So don't limit your scope, your vision, your ideas, your intentions, your thoughts to what has been before, because what's before doesn't even exist anymore. You are not the limitations of your past, because that past doesn't even exist. That past doesn't even exist anymore. It's incredible. So I want you to be encouraged this day. Ride that wave. Stay flexible. Keep your eyes on Christ. And in the middle of what's going on right now, throw down that net one more time for a catch. This time, it's because Jesus has given us the word to do so. Let's just go with that. Go with that. All right. Love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.